We see so many Indian names in the credits of Disney and Pixar animated films. But as an animator, I often wonder, why don't we make any good animated films of our own? Join Anurag and I on this week's episode of Padaku Panda as we delve into the world of Indian animation.
I feel like the reason why people are so moved or moved into... have completely moved into that house of mythological storytelling is because it's ready, magical realism. Because, see na, like if you see Chota Bheem, it's all regular things happening, but Chota Bheem is there to save the day. So it's become like a superhero genre where he has superpowers because he's Chota Bheem.
Just for context, in case you've been living under a rock and don't know what Chota Bheem is.
Impossible. That's impossible. I refuse to believe it. You're lying.
There might be some people who actually don't know what Chota Bheem is. You know, those people who don't have any kids or something like that. You know? Like, it is by far...
Do you have kids?
No, but we are animators, Soumya.
Everybody knows what Chota Bheem is. That's impossible. Chota Bheem is thrown in your face everywhere you go.
Actually, what we'll do now is, we'll put up on screen all Chota Bheem products you've probably been thrown at your face, right? At least 45, 55? God knows how many, man. It's like, enter shop and like you'll see a Chota Bheem product.
Something that you can buy for your child if you have them.
Yes.
That is Chota Bheem related. It is available. So
Chota Bheem is like this animated character who's like a small Bheem, which is weird.
So yeah. Here's the thing though.
Essentially, it's like baby Superman.
It is a superhero animated show.
Correct.
But it is Bheem. So
and Bheem is a super powerful
super
man.
Strength. Super strength man. No, they Hulk, give him Hulk-ish. Anything though. They give him any superpower based on convenience. It's not like...
Oh, okay.
It's not anything particular. It's okay. Just like, Bheem can do anything. But here's the thing. If anyone has known Mahabharat at all,
correct.
Right? Bheem is supposed to be the brawn of the Pandavas,
correct.
Right? Because he's like big, he's muscular, he's bulky, he has strength, right? So that's where I assumed this Chota Bheem concept came from, ki he will have super strength. But they have everything. Like Bheem is also smart, Bheem is also this, Bheem is also that. So I read this thing, this analysis of Chota Bheem. Actually, it was a very interesting paper that someone did, ki why do people like, why do kids like Chota Bheem? Or, you know, like how many people are into Chota Bheem actually? Why is it running? But they... they describe Bheem as... Has Bheem's name, has Arjun's personality, and is a weird mix of Yudhishthir, Nakul and Sahadev when it comes to his brains. And is also kind of Ram because he has Sita, essentially his best friend, the woman... The girl in that Chota Bheem series. And has a monkey friend who's Hanuman, essentially. So it's like everything. Bheem is like the one supreme mythological creature.
Here's the thing. So either you lean into the mythological aspect and create something. Or you create something new. Or you create your version of it. This is just a mess.
It's a big mess.
Also, by the way, there is a Chota Arjun also. So there is like a Chota Arjun.
So does Arjun have Bheem's personality? What is happening?
I don't know why, but first, I don't know, man.
I think Chota Arjun is just like he knows how to do archery.
No, man.
That is probably.
No, it's a spin-off series now. It's a whole thing. And he's also just like a Bheem.
But yes. Here's the thing. Have you noticed that... So, Chota Bheem started as a 2D animated series, right?
Correct.
So, if anybody doesn't know what 2D and 3D animation is, again, what are you doing? But... So, 3D animation is where you can actually see dimensions. Like, you know, things are available in 3 dimensions.
We'll put up a photo. Like, 2D...
Comparison.
2D and 3D.
Yes.
That's what's...
So, Bheem started... Pixar
is mostly 3D. And the old Disney films are 2D. Like, old Lion King. Old Lion King. That's a good way of
putting it. Yeah. So, Chota Bheem started as a 2D animated series or whatever. And then it has a 3D version now, which is available on Netflix and all if your children want to watch. If you want to watch, you should definitely check it out. But there is a Chota-er version of Chota Bheem. Like now there's a baby Bheem also.
Oh, there's a baby Bheem.
I swear to God, guys, are you running out of ideas? Come to us. We will give you ideas.
No, here's the thing. Nobody cares about ideas. So, so let's roll back the clock a little bit. The thing is, when the entire story of Indian filmmaking started, right? One of the first stories we explored was our mythology, right? And here's the thing. us exploring our culture through these newer art forms. And I say newer art forms, talking about film and animation, should be the natural progression for us, because you want to see how our collective imagination looks like. And considering how rich India's mythology is, how just our cultural stories that are given to us, whether they are tribal or local, like we have a god story in every village. We have so many interpretations of Rama, and we have so many interpretations of Mahabharata. There's so many characters, so many deep stories, right? And what would have been great is, first of all, you do say an honest or like a different, like all these different variation stories, which you do them honestly without cutting out the aki parts, man. Like, so here's weirdly what's happened is we do mythological stories, but we weirdly sanitize them. So we are not being
being true to those stories either.
Exactly. So not being true to those stories. And then we realize, wait a minute, instead of coming up with new concepts, as long as we, what actually happened is that they are like, hey man, as long as we brand it under the religious bandwagon, it's more palatable to the parents that the children are watching this.
Yes, exactly.
But it has nothing to do with mythology. You're not really learning about your culture. It's a bastardized version of all your mythology. I'm talking about the newer series. And when animation started, initially, that was a story. Like one of the old animation shorts, like the banyan tree or like the banyan deer. And it's from like the Jataka tales, which is a really important part of our history. Jataka tales, like from Buddhism. And then you slowly start coming to like when the animation starts becoming mainstream. It is just, I don't know what happened to us, man. We're just trying to create all these larger than life mythological stories, which are awfully done. You know, like you look at it and it's just, some of the animation, it just looks creepy. Like we're jumping the gun. We are not trying to create this really beautiful storyline, right? Already we had this, this thing where we had to go through, our Indian culture went through the blender during the British occupation, where our culture was chopped up under Victorian morals. And now why is our mythology that we are making being rehashed by the same weird Western model? Like, why is it that when we talk about Krishna's story, the later part of Krishna's story is not told the way it should be told? The way how it happened in Mahabharata, how Krishna's life ended, how his entire clan died because of a curse, right? When you're talking about, say, the Pandavas and Mahabharata, the violence of it, how the people and all these characters fell, is essentially just like skipped over.
Yeah.
For like in terms of sanitization.
And that's super weird, because Mahabharata is a story of a war.
Correct.
Like, you cannot dumb that down irrespective of what you do.
And here's the thing, Mahabharata is not a story for kids. It is part of our cultural history. We should be making Mahabharata, and even if we choose to do it in an animated format, the animation should be to show our cultural history, not for freaking dude, sometimes I feel they're just making it because they know it will sell and to give it to some other people, really no real information.
Yeah, I think it also comes from like that stereotype that animation is for kids. Like, because the moment you make something cartoon, it's like, okay, we have to market it to children.
Correct.
It's not coming from a place of making art or being true to a story.
Correct. Exactly. So I think animation became a gimmick. I think that's what it is. Like in Indian animation, by and large, has turned into like a gimmicky thing. I think now that we're talking about Indian animation and mythology, one of the major issues that I have is of the aesthetics. Like the aesthetics we use to tell our stories feel almost borrowed.
Yeah.
Like very few stories actually go into the detail of really building the backgrounds and a history. You know, weirdly enough, one of the cool 2D animated films that really was, there was this India-Japan collaboration.
Yes, for Ramayana. Favorite. The Legend of Prince Ram.
Correct.
Oh my god.
Beautifully done.
It was great.
It's so beautiful. It's doesn't pull punches in its storytelling. And
they did a very good abridged version of the Ramayana. Like they had all the main things. Like they did not pull back on the trauma. They did not pull back on anything. They clearly showed the parts where there was distress. They clearly showed like the parts which were skipped over, like Jatayu's death and things like that.
Weirdly enough, now we're going to have a very weird segue with Indian animation and taxation. And you're like, what? What is the correlation here? So here's the correlation, man. The only... So India, on paper, we have had hundreds, or like I don't know how many, of collaborative films, animated films made, okay, that's supposed to be Indian with another country. We have done and we have made like a film together. The only real collaboration was India-Japan, the first one, that is Legend of Prince Ram, right, in 1992, where we made this amazing, you know, story of Ramayana. It was beautifully done. I think we should put up some frames, man, just to see how, you know, how wonderful it was. But after that, it has only been used for tax rebate.
Whoa.
None of the films look at this. After that, it's Sinbad, Beyond the Veil of Mist, Alpha and Omega, Gaturo, that is Spanish, man, the thing, The Prodigy, The Swan Prince of Christmas, Save, like basically all European, you would say B grade animated films, the direct to video category, were all produced. Like essentially, we have produced the world's entire section of that animation.
Of international animation.
Correct. Yeah. At least on paper. And none of it is for India. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just like aimed at a world audience.
No, and, dude. It's basically they how want you can get Indian. Basically how you can get Indian like cheap labor and mix it up with, you know, tax rebate.
My goodness.
So imagine that. In so many years, the only real collaboration was the Japanese one in 1992. And we have not had another one since, which was reflective of, say, actually India.
Dude, but you know what happened with that film also, right? It was a big mess. Like, it happened. Like, it was decided. They decided to make it in relation to, like, I think some anniversary of some diplomatic relations between India and Japan, something like that. And Yuo Sako, the animator who was the Japanese animator who decided that he wanted to make Ramayana in an animated form. Correct. He was going around India because he was doing a documentary on people who have researched the Ramayana. Like,
correct.
So he found the Ramayana super interesting, which of course, like, why wouldn't you, right?
Correct.
And he was like, you know, I want to make this an animated film and I want help from whoever I can find in India, obviously.
Correct.
So Ram Mohan, who was like a big animator in India at the time, he was the one who was approached for this, right?
Correct.
So they got together and they started making the film. But the Indian Express, like, reported this in a negative way, that Yuo Sako is making his own Ramayana and not like as not exactly what he was doing, that he was just making the Ramayana but not his own Ramayana or whatever.
Correct.
And because of that, the government got involved.
Okay.
And the government was like, nee, you can't make the Ramayana in animated form, because firstly, we think that making it a cartoon is like completely ruining what it was, like what a great thing it was. And because already the cartoons have like...
By the way, just for context, we are going to put up one frame of the Ramayana in 1992, this one. And after that, we are going to put up some other frames of the Kachra, which the government has had no problems with, which we made. And like, it's... Anyway, continue.
Hmm. So all this happened, the government had problems, etc., etc. And then it was going to be produced in India. Like, Ram Mohan was going to be like the supervising animator and, like, you know, it was going to be a thing. But because of all these problems, and Yuo Sako had to approach court, and then he had to be like, you know, this is what I am doing actually. I'm not actually making my own Ramayana or anything.
Correct.
I'm actually using these people's research to do
Correct.
My stuff. And then ultimately it was entirely produced in Japan because India...
Refused to
help.
Wow.
And still Ram Mohan was involved. Like, you know, it was still a collaboration between these guys, but it wasn't produced in India in the end.
Wow, that's awful. And, you know, and oddly enough, that's the most respectful and I would say better...
The best
depiction
one.
Yeah, depictions of Indian mythology, because everything else really is... downright awful. Like,
it's gimmicks.
Weird.
It's just gimmicks. They're trying to make some mythological character cool in today's context, for example.
No, like, even like the old ones. Like, okay, so in 2000, there was something known as... I won't need reference here. Because way too many. So it's called Pandavas, the Five Warriors, okay?
Was this the 3D one?
It's a 3D one. Oh my God. It is... It looks atrocious.
And the character models they used were not
Indian.
They were not Indian. They were European. Yeah. They were definitely like foreign.
And here's the thing. Now we didn't have any problems, right? Just like, it's like, oh my God. Here's the thing. Why are we using foreign models or like these really weird.
And we have the talent, but the talent is working on outsourced stuff. Like, that is our biggest problem in the Indian animation industry today.
I think that, that itself is a podcast in its own right of how the Indian animation industry is a slave labor capital. You know what I mean? It really is.
Yikes.
Like, yeah, like that's, I feel that that's, then we're like a news expose.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Did you know?
But everyone knows about this and everyone treats it like this is normal. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, just to give you some context, Nickelodeon makes a lot of shows, right? And I have been in LA and I have been to Nickelodeon and I know what goes on there now.
Correct.
And Nickelodeon was making Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the newest reboot.
Correct. Right?
Very good shit. Like, you know, their storyboarding was on point. Everything was amazing. They were giving that to get animated in Australia. So
correct.
Already outsourced. Okay. Australia was outsourcing that to India. Can you imagine how little money we were getting for this entire transaction?
So, just to tell you, countries known for creditless outsourcing of animators, right? So, we are in the prestigious list of countries like North Korea, Malaysia, Indonesia, and India. So, India actually comes, we like, this is one place we are just like North Korea. Did you know North Korea also has slave animators? And even they, so here's the scandal, okay? They got, I think an Australian company only got caught using North Korean animators. Apparently, they're very good.
See, it's not that. That's the thing. The talent is there. The skill set is there. But we are not making our own stuff. We are slave labor for all these people.
No, I mean, we are making our own stuff. I mean, we made like Hanuman and then we made Legend of Buddha. I mean, it all kind of like was not that great. Then we did, but there was the CGI.
I like the Hanuman first film, to be very honest. It came out in 2005 or something, right? And the first film was 2D animated.
Even there was a Krishna one that was done, I think, which ISKCON had produced with India, with Reliance, which was very good because ISKCON was
involved
and ISKCON was like, hey man,
we have to do it justice. Like,
correct, yeah. Apparently, they scrutinized even his movements to ensure it was Indian. Like, for example, there was a scene, and I was talking to the animators who were doing that, where Krishna takes an apple and he does that Aladdin wala bounce.
Right.
Right? Hmm. With it. And the ISKCON said, no, you can't put that. It looks too Western. And that's just not what this aesthetic is about. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's nice. Pretty yeah. Cool. That's so what that's we the, need.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, again, it's not like, actually, when it comes to India, we would like to copy paste. Like, it's weird, but we are taking stories that are ours, but instead of looking inwards for our aesthetics and looks, we're looking outwards. You know what I mean? It's so strange. And if you look at like initial, even today, right, if you look at Indian animation, I feel there's like a strong dissonance. Like, a lot of it looks Western, you know what I mean?
And it's delivering Indian content.
Correct. And it's confusing because I feel this is what happens, animators, if you are freaking referencing only Western content, do not do that. Actually, you know what, man? I leave the animators out of this. It's probably your producer.
Yeah, they're showing you a reference.
And ye chahiye. We cannot live without it. Whoa. Hey, man. Anybody saw Baal Ganesh?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Anybody here see Baal Ganesh?
No.
Bahut baar dekha. Oh, Madhu has kids.
Madhu has kids, so he's seen a lot of this stuff over and over.
How was Baal Ganesh, Madhu?
Not good.
Not good. And even the storyline is weird. Also, did you know Return of Hanuman was directed by Anurag Kashyap?
Okay, now I have an axe to grind with this whole thing. Okay, if you are directing for animation, you have to think like an animator. You have to think about the medium, right? Because animation is another medium. And
correct.
People are not treating it that way.
Not in India, not at all. We actually, like you said, we are like the bastard medium.
So,
continue.
We have a lot of people who think like, you know, live action. For example, actors like Jugal Hansraj, who has directed the amazing 3D animated movie Roadside Romeo.
That is Soumya being very sarcastic. Like, I'm just saying, she's like, it's so much, everyone is like freezing. It's
hot. And that movie won a national award. Like, we literally sat down for this podcast today and Anurag turns around and said, did you know Roadside Romeo won a national award? And I was like, of course it did. Of fucking course it did, right? Because it had Saif Ali Khan lending his voice to Roadside Romeo. It had Kareena Kapoor lending her voice to Roadside. Did she call herself Kareena Kapoor Khan now?
I have no idea, man.
Kareena Kapoor Khan lending her voice to Roadside Romeo. It had Javed Jafri lending his voice to the villain dog of that goddamn movie. And that movie was absolute kachra. Absolute kachra, because they treated it like a Bollywood movie. They treated it like a live-action Bollywood movie, and they made these dogs do all the stuff that usually humans would do. So they are walking on their hind legs and completely anthropomorphic, and it's never addressed that they are dogs unless, you know, if you see that conflict in that movie, you know.
So the thing is, that film is awful, and you should we'll put the link to the trailer, or I don't know, man. We should.
I don't even know if I want that trailer to get views. Like,
yeah, no, but people should see. The people need to know, like, how awful it was. Like, so considering that, you know, and by the way, Roadside Romeo is 2008, right? And here's the thing. So when we did Baal Ganesh and Return of Hanuman and all these films, right? We still did not work with our mythology. Instead, we created some weird ass convoluted stories of them being reborn in today's world and doing...
This I'm is like, them trying to appeal to the audience. I understand. See, honestly, nah, when you see all these creative decisions...
Here's the thing. I disagree with the appeal to the audience part. It's not like they did really well.
No, it's
just
not.
It's just like, hum log ye in log ko bhagwan ke naam pe aisa product banayega, to log aayega dekhne ke liye because they don't mind taking their kids to something like this because animated nahi hai. But that's not true. Animated films do well in India anyway. Normal films do well in India anyway, right? Not all our films are around gods, right? Singham is not like the, you know, new avatar of freaking Vishnu, right? Doesn't have to be. It can be its own story. Like, all films can have its own story, guys.
How fucked are we if Singham is the 10th avatar of Vishnu?
If it had been, I'm just saying. Wow. That's another podcast. Our direct cultural history becomes the low-hanging fruit in terms of, like, immediately creativity-wise, that, hey, man, these are stories that are already there in our collective consciousness. We can animate them. Even those stories are not being used. I'm saying, you know what? I'm actually telling, like, hey, man, we should double down on our mythology and storytelling.
And use it right. Use it correctly. Use the stories our advantage.
Here's the thing. So, I don't know about like using it correctly or badly. I'm just, there's going to be a phase, right? I'm just saying use it. Like, I'm saying let's get out there and be like inventive and tell the story that actually belong to our culture. And we need to really, 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 in my opinion, like stop looking at it through a Western lens. Like, there's this really weird preoccupation in which we want to like put it in like this oddly, like, it's somehow this animation has to use like the same conventions that have come from the West. I understand animation was born in the USA, by the way. That's where this whole medium was born. It was born in USA, made its way to India in the 50s 60s.
Yeah, 50s 60s.
So it's
yeah.
That new in the 50s is when animation started, really started becoming something by the 80s and 90s.
And 93-95 is when the Yugo Sakowala Ramayan came out.
Correct. So. And then animation as a field boomed in India in the 2000s. And now, finally, we're reaching a phase where there are enough people who have grown up in an era and are now mature enough to deal with, say, more complex subjects. Now, my thing, now coming back to the mythology aspect of it, is like, what I really wonder is that why is it that, first of all, we are stuck to such few names, right? And then I almost feel that we are afraid to go deeper into these topics. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about like what is like why are we not even mining our own culture the right way?
I think we'll have to like think about it as a... Okay. So let's assume that the animation industry is a building. Okay. Now, but natural, the animators are in the basement.
Correct.
Because where else would they be, right? Okay. So, let's say the creative writers are somewhere on the ground to first floor.
Correct.
For example. Okay. So, somewhere around, say this building has 20 floors.
Correct.
Yeah. And 20th floor is like the executive producer, people who are making the money decisions.
Correct.
Chal, okay, we will fund this thing. So, the creative writers have come up with a concept, or they're like, chalo, script likhte hai, script 7th floor pe hai. They go to the script people and they're like, these are our options. Mm. We have a bunch of people, mythological creatures or mythological people, who we can make a movie on. Then they have a segment where they are like, okay, these are the people already know.
Correct.
And then these are the people that people don't know, but they probably should know about.
Correct.
Okay. So Krishna, Hanuman, all these people go into the side where people already know. And then other people who they probably don't know, like Shurupnakha, for example, spin-off of Ramayana, you know, like, you know, they don't know these people. Chalo, we'll put them on the right side.
Yeah.
So then the script writers decide, ki chalo, we'll make a script on this so that we can pitch it. Right. Correct. So there's a script, a creative writer, script writer, both of them to put together, decide ki, let's make something that people already know, so people will go and watch it.
Correct.
Because why do people want to know anything new?
Correct.
Right. So they choose something like Krishna or something.
So basically your what you're trying to say is that it's mostly based on the fact that people who are making the decisions have no context to the creativity aspect.
Correct. It's like there's such a big divide in between the people who are actually doing the grunt work and actually coming up with the idea.
You know what I feel? When it comes to mythological storytelling, instead of the executive boardroom, they should be grandmoms. And I'll tell you why. Because I remember how my grandmom told the stories of Indian mythology. It was not linear. It was this weaving, beautiful, complex story where in between, it would follow one story of one character for a bit, right? For example, in the Ramayana, when my grandma was telling me the story, and it was every day, she would like sit me down and tell me part of the story when I was a kid. I remember we just segued into Sugriv's story. You know, Sugriv
exactly,
and Bali.
Exactly, because they're all interconnected. Like
it was so beautiful. That whole segue into this whole complete different part of Ramayana. If you actually thought, just the story of Hanuman, Sugriv and Vali is a film. It's a film. It's a series. It's so intense. And it's an important part of the
Ramayana, actually.
Exactly. And my grandmom spent so much time with it. So here's the thing. So one is you're making commercial cinema, and I get it, that's for money.
And I see the people on the 7th floor are trying to pitch this to someone on the 15th floor who will take it to the executive people who are going to make the decision. So already the executive people are not getting the entire, it's funneled down for them so that they understand what do they have to gain from it.
Correct.
And that is where all the kachara is happening.
Correct.
Like already the creative directors and the script writers have like pushed some stuff aside because they know that the people who they are pitching to are not going to accept this stuff only. So matlab, there is no point in pitching something that is not going to be taken seriously.
I actually feel it's also, like I said, I feel that boardroom really does need grandmoms because they actually know the stories. I feel the people sitting are mostly men in those executive rooms, and they have come from our totally Western education line, 100% studied abroad, or maybe.
And they're all MBA holders and all. None of them are artists. None of them are.
No. Let them be MBA holders. But my point is, most people who come through that line probably do not have any detailed knowledge about our own, because our education system is built like that you will not have enough information or knowledge of your own culture, in the sense that your mythology and all, like the mythological study, which is understanding where are these sort of cultural stories and histories come from, is not taught to you. So it's natural that even those people in MBA just know the main names, right? They don't know anything more about your own culture. So that's why I think that dissonance is there. You need to have an expert. And who's a better expert than your grandma. who knows all them stories. Man, so I feel, you know, it's so crazy that there's this entire generation, right? Of like us who have this oral tradition of storytelling where the stories came through your grandma telling them and you're listening to them, you know? And I'm lucky to have had that.
Right.
But now that families are splitting, right? then most of the kids are not getting these stories from their grandmothers or like from the older generation. And the only source now has become these animated films.
That's
so now
sad.
I feel...
Oh my God.
So I fear that the new kids, right, will never get this kind of detailed story that I got. Because A, the modern this thing is oversimplified. Because of course it has to fix the medium of animation. And also people are not really exploring all the stories. It's just not there, you know. Like for example, what I would like is, I feel Amar Chitrakatha should be allowed to make its own animated series.
Yeah, because Amar Chitrakatha actually went into such detailed, I mean, obviously they were abridged versions of everything. Like they were like 20 page comics.
Does everybody know what, I feel everybody should know what Amar Chitrakatha is, but if you had explained.
No, actually. So I was trying to talk to my boyfriend about Amar Chitrakatha and he did not know what it was. And it blew my mind how... Okay, never mind. But Amar Chitrakatha is like a series of... it's a company that started off with just making comics, like one-off comics. But they went completely dived into the same market that this animation industry is diving into. But they made something completely different out of it, which is... just goes to show exactly what we are trying to talk about. That so basically, you can take the same material and make something even better than what you are making
right now.
So, Amar
Chitrakatha, what it does is, they do only mythological stories and stories of India, but it's completely accurate. Like, they go into the details, they really research their stuff. So, if actually, a lot of mythological stories are told honestly and cleanly as much as possible, in Amar Chitrakatha.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do this thing where they have a book on Sugriv.
Correct.
They have a book on Vali. They have a book on all these profiles that are not explored in animation.
Correct.
As much. And that will give you such a clearer whole picture.
Correct.
Of what's
so
going
have,
on in the Ramayana.
So they have one on even like Bhagat Singh and Indian Freedom Movement. And
they also have Jataka Tales and Panchatantra and all.
Correct.
So like they are completely invested in Indian stories.
Correct.
But they do it.
But they didn't. Here's the thing. So that kind of animation never made it out. But whereas even that content is essentially for kids and young adults.
Yeah, because they are highly abridged stories. I'm not saying that they are doing like they're doing full justice to Sugriv. Aise nahi hai. But you know exactly what happened. All the points that happened in Sugriv's life, which affected a bunch of other things in the Ramayana, immediately.
Correct.
If you read Sugriv's Amar Chitrakatha.
Correct. So I'm saying, so there you have it. So you have one. Publisher, like the Amar Chitrakatha. But it's weird. Like, I feel it's weird that Indian animation didn't go down that route.
And, it is Madhu, on the internet.
Your kids, where's their, most of their consumption? How is it done?
Internet.
Right now, internet.
Internet.
YouTube and Netflix and all. The same study that did that thing, Chota Bheem thing, they also were seeing where are kids watching all this stuff, right?
Correct.
So 3 hours ke upar was heavy consumption, obviously.
Correct.
Also, if your kid is watching Chota Bheem for more than 3 hours a day, please show him something else. Please. Live action movie bhi chalega.
Actually, no kid should be watching anything for 3 hours, bro.
You remember?
You're a bad parent.
My day.
You're a bad parent, man. You're an awful parent. You're like Edik.
No, literally, these are the words in that research, okay? That people who are watching, usually parents are like, "Haan, theek hai, is out of my way, I'll get my chores done." And that's why they are allowing children to watch. And again, they are allowing children to watch it because, it's Bheem. Kya hi hoga, kya hi ganda hoga usme, you know? So, it's fine. I don't need to oversee this stuff.
Correct.
But they are also watching on YouTube, the same Chota Bheem stuff.
Correct.
And also on Netflix.
Got it.
So 46% or something was like moving to Netflix only now.
Correct.
So it's out of cable, out of everything.
Basically streaming platform.
Yeah. And that is so surprising to me that the same like stuff over and over again, kids are watching. Like, you know, people, like the same season, right?
But the kids do that. So basically...
But they like Chota Bheem so much.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. My point is not... if Chota Bheem is beloved or not. My point is not that if it's good or not. The point I'm trying to make is that, see, first of all, this is our culture, right? And our animators, and we have the talent and the people to do really beautiful things. It is so weird that the Indian producers and the people with money are choosing to make the baseline worst content that can meet their profit margins, and that's it. It's so weird that we would do that with our own this thing. You know, that is my point here. You know what I mean? That these are active choices. Here's the thing. Chota Bheem and all these animations, you and I know, okay, that animation is very basic, right? But we don't have basic animators, right?
We have animators that can do much more.
Correct.
We have animators who are like technically winning visual effects awards for Life of Pi, but not being credited.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
But we do have the talent. That's totally. The point I'm trying to make. There's skill, there's talent. We do have it. It's just wasted.
Correct.
Because of all this.
Yeah.
So all this politics.
Politics nahi. Money. But I also feel, why do you have so little respect for our own thing?
And I feel like it's also coming from that thing, that money making machine aspect of it. Like it's treated like a factory.
But here's the thing. My point, what I find really confusing is like, factory rehne do, animation banane do, all those things given, that is not my problem. My problem is why, as a people, we don't respect our own content. And that's what really, you know, mind boggles me. For example, look at a Bollywood film. We go all out, right? Best people, banate, it's outrageous, it's crazy. Most of the time, story sucks. But jo bhi a Bollywood film, ka main mehnat hai. You know what? Like a full-fledged, like they go the distance. Why are we not going distance with animated films? You know what I mean? It's like, nahi, isme return nahi hai, isme ye nahi.
Yeah, return nahi hai was like such a big part of reading.
So let's go. But here's the second question. Now that Chota Bheem is doing well,
there is return.
So they didn't care. My point is that what was strange is that they didn't go like, hey man, we can up our game or change things up or whatever. Like
they went with the same.
Like other points notwithstanding also, it's a very strange way this field is looked at. And I feel, although I feel like things are changing, and I hope in the, you know, in the future we do like amazing content, because I feel that, and also I think as technology is changing, more animators are freeing themselves of having to be stuck working in a studio. So I feel that we might be looking at some awesome, awesome new content that will be, you know, more in line with our, you know, our culture. Because it's so weird, because we have to start looking and valuing our own culture and what we do and our own stories. And I think that's the biggest, you know, if anybody has any takeaway from this, I think we need to stop seeing all of this as quote unquote lowbrow, but actually paying attention ki bhai, after all, ye toh humara hai na.
Yeah, it's an art form. It is a medium that you can use to tell an amazing story. And we have amazing stories that are not being told right. And just take what you can from this.
But man, I feel, I think in this particular one, we have like spoken a lot about, say, what animation is, what's not working, and how all of this is coming like in from that strain. But I feel I feel my positive takeaway from all of this would be that things are definitely changing.
Things are changing. Like, I know that this is more of a topic of discussion now, that people are talking about this, and that's always a good sign. Like the fact that, you know, we also are talking about this on a podcast, and there are other people who definitely share our viewpoints and share our concerns for this medium and for this art form, and like, you know, what we can do with it. Film companies and production houses are making like good content, putting their stuff in festivals, which is a great like initiative. But considering that these are still indie companies and not mainstream, we will get there. We will get there.
Cool. I think that's about sums it up for this particular thing. You have anything else to add?
Just respect our stories. That's all.
Wow, man. This is a surprisingly very deepish dive into
very propaganda.
Into like the whole animated circuit. I don't know. Please let us know what you thought about. Was this new information? Do you think Indian animation is great? Do you think there's what is your favorite film? Is there any film that you particularly remember from your childhood?
You do not agree with us on something.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you totally are Padaku Pandas, man. You disagree, we'll answer. We'll take that up. But that's what we do. We discuss shit. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. I would like to know what you guys think about, like, which animated films make impact in your life, what you are what you thought was awesome or great, or we thought like, okay, we didn't talk about, and maybe we can address it later. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and as always, subscribe to our channel.
Yeah, like, subscribe, hit the bell button. You'll come to know every time we upload a video, and new episodes every Friday.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. Yeah, you know how to pitch, man. You are a pitcher.
I have reached the top floor.
Exactly. Top floor content here, guys. Top floor content. Ciao. Peace.